When you returned to Pittsburgh, you then had one child or two?
Two.
And where did you two decide to live?
Well, we lived first up in Beachview.
Oh.
On the top of a little mountain up there.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was still very post-war.
Yes.
And the housing was very difficult to find. So we were there in a very nice house, but mm-hmm. felt very isolated there.
Yes.
And it was very country, you know. And we stayed there for, I don't know, about 6-8 months. And then friends of ours bought a duplex in Stanton Heights. And we rented the downstairs of their duplex. And we're there for some time, then moved to a double, half a double, in that same area, and then moved to the house we live in, which was built at that time. So we're the only people that have lived in the house. That whole area was developing at that
yes.
point.
Is it in the Stanton Heights area?
It's right in Stanton Heights.
I see. I remember that was a whole new...
Right, and it's
thing.
An area that a large influx of young Jewish families.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
initially,
well, for
yes.
a long time,
yes.
for many years.
Yes,
it's changed since then, but
yes.
For many years, it was largely the new young families were overwhelmingly Jewish.
Well, I would imagine that was, first of all, one of the new housing areas. And housing within some means, and fellas coming back for more with
mm-hmm.
Privileges
mm-hmm.
to
get GI Bill and
yes,
something.
Get mortgages at a reasonable rate.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And while you lived up in Stanton Heights, did you work at all?
I went back to work in 1961 when Bonnie mm-hmm. entered kindergarten.
I see.
That
so
was
you
the
really
first I went back to
children.
Work, right?
Uh-huh.
And I was doing huge amounts of volunteer work during those years.
Like
but,
what?
Tell
well,
I was active with PTA, I was active with Hadassah, I was active with B'nai B'rith. I guess those were the dominant ones, and a number of community organizations. We had a very active community, and I was really active in the community organization.
Mm-hmm.
Near the association.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that until Bonnie was in kindergarten. And
mm-hmm.
then I started to work part-time.
Mm-hmm. But while you were up there and you were in these organizations, were you taking the kind of lead that you have taken in recent
Pretty
years?
Much. Pretty
you were.
Much, yeah.
That was your kind of thing.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And what was the Jewish community like up in that area? Because we don't know too much about East Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Stanton Heights area. What was it like at that time? I know there are a lot of many old homes that I imagine had Jewish families at one time.
Well, down in East End, the homes up in Stanton Heights are much newer.
Right.
They're all post-war.
Right.
World War II, and so they're much, much newer. The East Liberty community was a much more aging
right.
community.
Right.
But these were young, and this was like a classically suburban community in the middle of the city.
Mm-hmm.
The age of the people, the style of the people that lived there, etc., was much more suburban. And you would think when you came through that neighborhood that it was, you were in a suburban neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
It had that quality, except that it happened to be located in the
right.
middle of the city.
Uh-huh.
And it was an extremely active community.
There was a lot of
huge amount of interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And people wanted to be active. And, you would have people competing for positions in the PTA and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely
That's
active.
That's interesting.
Group. Yeah.
Because today it's just the opposite.
Uh-huh.
They have a hard time getting people
yeah.
into
well,
PTAs.
It was absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Did the Jewish community up there, was there interplay between the Jewish community and the non-Jews in the Stanton Heights area?
Yes, through things like PTA and
I
the community
see.
Organization, mm-hmm. although... overwhelmingly, there were active Jewish organizations. Hadassah was extremely active, and B'nai B'rith was, and Ort was. A number of Jewish organizations were very active. But there was, largely through the PTA and the
right.
community organization.
I would imagine that there were a limited number of women who worked
yes.
at that
yes.
time.
Overwhelmingly.
Yeah.
I mean, the turnover, the change between 1960 and 1970 was just staggering.
Mm-hmm.
When I went back to work, which I think was 60 or 61 when Bonnie was entering kindergarten, it was not usual that women in that neighborhood worked, mm-hmm. or women anywhere, but
right.
here. And by 1970, overwhelmingly, change. I would say 90% of the women were probably working, 80%, whatever. It was a huge
yes.
percentage working. Uh-huh. I mean, the turnover in 10 years was, mm-hmm. the change was just staggering.
What do you think accounted for that change?
Well, I think that people had aspirations for buying bigger homes and having more material goods. Their kids were older. They were able to do it. The women's movement surely impacted on it overwhelmingly in terms of attitudes about
right.
women working in that 10-year period. And once it started, it was like a snowball,
mm-hmm.
just gathering up snow. It just went. And once it became socially acceptable to do, everybody was doing it.
Right.
You know, once they didn't feel criticized mm-hmm. and didn't feel that it was being a bad mother to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a lot of support in terms of institutions. For example, the school resisted having a school lunch program for years up there.
Mm-hmm.
The principal thought parents should stay at home and was not akin. And I was president of the PTA during a good part of that, and we really did try to convince her that we had to do this. Finally, she did give in. They never served during that period hot lunches, but they did finally make an arrangement where parents could take turns, mothers, supervising the lunchroom so that kids could eat at school.
I see.
But it took the longest time. The
Did they have to build a lunchroom, or was
well,
there
no,
a
they used an all-purpose room.
I see. But
now, I think in more recent years, they're actually probably serving hot
mm-hmm.
lunches that
mm-hmm.
they bring in.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't then. The great push was to get her to agree to let the kids eat lunch in school.
Mm-hmm.
And
was that the same in elementary as in high school? Was the same?
Well, they always had lunch programs in high school.
High school, but was the elementary
always.
And
this
middle schools?
Elementary. Yeah, well, we didn't have middle questions. Schools then. We had the children at Sunnyside School, we were such a young and very prolific population that we had a brand new school that was built in 1954, and we outgrew it within 2 years. So the seventh and eighth graders were transported down to Morningside on buses.
Yes.
It was one of the earliest of the busing programs,
mm-hmm.
and not particularly that the parents wanted that to happen, but we had just absolutely exploded out of that building.
Out of Sunnyside.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. so our kids went to Morningside for 7th and 8th grade, and then went to Peabody for 9th
nice.
grade, because there weren't middle schools yet then.
What was Peabody like at that time?
Well, it was a very diverse population.
It was.
Yeah, had a lot of, I remember very well the principal, and the kids just thought this was hilarious, announcing to the kids that Peabody was the ideal urban school because it had one-third white, one-third black, and one-third Jewish.
Oh.
The kids just totally cracked up at
yes.
that.
Uh-huh.
That told you, as they said, where he's at.
Right.
And but it was that kind of mixture. And the Jewish kids always, of course, did well scholastically.
Did it have a good standing? I remember they used to talk about Taylor Alderdice.
Well, I think Alderdice always has been the dominant
it
school
has.
In the city in terms mm-hmm. of achievement. It has a larger proportion of, I think, what it is middle class, largely
right.
Jewish, but middle class and upper
mm-hmm.
middle class kids. And it's so clearly a class factor, amongst other things.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jewish kids at, and the middle class, there was a middle class that was non-Jewish there,
right.
too, tended to do well.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a large number of kids from the Larimer area that were usually Italian origin, did not do as well, and then
mm-hmm.
black kids, and you had a widespread there
mm-hmm.
from very achieving kids to not such achieving, and it did seem a function of social class as much as anything.
Right. Did you feel that the education that your children were getting at these schools, whether it was Sunnyside or the high school, was of a high quality?
Yes, I think it was. I think they did well. Our youngest did not finish in a public school. She really rebelled and found it boring and whatever. And much as we were totally dedicated to public school education, we finally were forced to yield, and she went to a private sort of alternate, one of those alternative schools.
I see.
And she graduated from that. But that was really with great resistance from us.
Yes.
We were not happy about having to do that, but she could not go on resisting going to school, so we thought we had to.
I just wondered, because I know so many of parents these days choose private schools,
right,
and our public schools are losing out, and I just wondered what it was like at that time in comparison.
I think generally there were very few kids that went to private schools. It was rare. It's become infinitely more usual now, and I think generally they were doing well. I mean, they were able to achieve and able to get into colleges and so forth.
Were your children Hebrew school attendees?
Mm-hmm.
And
Epinay Israel.
Epinay Israel. Were you active there?
Somewhat. Mm-hmm. Somewhat active with the sisterhood.
I see. But not...
not so active. But, well, they didn't really have a lot of women being active with the rest of the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
But I was active with the sisterhood.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat. And our children all went there and were all bar or bat mitzvah there and confirmed from there.
Mm-hmm. Were any of them married there?
No. Let's see. Ricky, no. Debbie, no, none of them.
Because you had the marrying rabbi at B'nai Israel, as he was known at that time.
Which one?
His name is
Schechter?
Before Schechter. He was one of the first, and I can't for the life of me remember
him. I see him
but
before
they called
me.
Him the marrying rabbi.
Right, Mordecai.
And I thought maybe you would remember
No, I will, I will.
Uh-huh.
I see him before me.
Uh-huh.
Not Schechter, it was...
No,
I remember him, and he went to New York from here.
Then, anyways, then when you decide to return to work in
61,
where did you go?
Traveler's Aid.
Oh.
And the reason I went there was that they would let me adjust my hours to what I needed to adjust to, so that I could work evenings. They had shifts.
Yes.
And they would let me work as many hours as I wanted. I could work weekends when Jack was home to be with the children.
I see. So you didn't necessarily work a 9-to-5 shift?
No,
I
didn't initially.
Mm-hmm. Was it an active organization, because
yes, definitely. Very, very active. All master's degree people, and very active.
Where were you?
The basic headquarters was in the railroad station. But we worked between the railroad station and the Greyhound bus station, which was just across the street. We had some staff out at the airport, but not very many.
I don't think there was as much travel by air at that time as there is today.
And the bulk of our staff were divided between those two desks, and it was all master's people, MSWs.
And were you a caseworker at that time, or supervisor? What was
I was a caseworker from 61 to 65, and then, or 64, then I came to the doctoral program. And I was here for a year, and then had, the summer break, and I went back to Traveler's Aid for that summer break as a supervisor, because by then the poverty program had started, and Traveler's Aid had a contract to run a service called the Newcomer Service up in the Hill District. And I was the supervisor of that service for that 4 months, and I was ready to come back to school, and that's when I was asked to come on to faculty.
When you came back for
my second
master's?
Year. No, I already had my master's. This was for my doctorate.
Your doctorate. So on your second...
I had my master's.
How long was the doctorate program? 2 years?
Well, it was 2 years full-time plus dissertation.
I
right
see.
Along that.
Uh-huh.
So now this was my second year of my doctorate work.
I see. Yeah, Who was heading the school at that time?
McCullough.
Dr. McCullough.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that she was once head of the school.
Bill McCullough.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he was dean for a long time.
And, well, I wasn't active at the time, so I didn't know.
Yeah, no, he was dean. He was had been associate dean for a while, and then when Dr. Neustetter left and finally died, you know, he was ill, Bill became the dean.
I see.
And he was the dean then until 72.
Did you have something in mind in terms of getting your doctorate, because it wasn't the usual thing to secure a doctorate in social work?
I really wanted to teach, and that's really what drew me back.
I see.
And but I would have been happy to be out in practice too. I mean, I wanted to teach, but I wouldn't have died if I couldn't have taught. I would have wanted to be in practice.
But that was the goal.
But
if
teaching
possible.
Was, you know, was of interest to me.
Mm-hmm.
And as it happened, in my last period of employment at Traveler's Aid, the associate dean here, Mary Ellen Robertson, came to work for the summer at Traveler's Aid. And she was director of the doctoral program and kept high
talking
Aaron,
with you.
Kept talking about you ought to really do this and so forth.
Uh-huh.
And so that really helped. I mean, she really pushed.
I
I'm
see.
Not sure I would have really followed through on it without that
yes.
pushing. Because it wasn't the usual thing, and
no,
most
I know.
People didn't do that
I know,
in our field.
Bother.
And it would have been all right not to. I mean, I would have been happy to go. I was ready to go back into practice full time at that
would
point.
Would you have gone back to Traveler's Aid, that kind of work?
I might have.
Were you interested
But I'm
in that?
Not sure that I would have necessarily.
At that time, Traveler's Aid was relatively busy.
Oh,
right?
Swamped.
Uh-huh. What do you think?
Well, a number of things happened there. The United Way, they were a United Way agency,
yes.
Did a study and decided that somewhere in the late 60s that information and volunteer service and Traveler's Aid should merge, and Traveler's Aid should become part of the United Way organization. And the board and the exec did not want to do that,
mm-hmm.
and they resisted
doing it
and fought it tooth and nail, and ultimately ended up cut off of United Way money because they would not go along with that plan. Felt they could raise the money themselves, had never succeeded in doing it here, so that they slowly began to really shrink away.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't have the budget to keep going.
Yes.
And it probably was an error to have decided that, but that they did not want to merge into United Way.
Yes, they wanted their own independent agency.
Yes, which they are in most cities.
Yes,
they are. They are merged in some cities with family agencies.
Mm-hmm.
That's not unusual, but this one did not want to be merged, and resisted it strongly, and they just began to then shrink and shrink and go downhill, which was unfortunate because they
most
were offering
them. Most of them outside staffed by volunteers?
They use a lot of volunteers,
yes.
but not for the counseling service,
right.
for providing traveler services and helping with children
or children
traveling and so forth. They used a lot of excellent volunteers. They were one of the first agencies, I think, that did creative work with volunteers.
Yes.
And excellent training for volunteers, had a staff person that just oversaw volunteer service. And they were really running a good show, I think.
Where are they at now?
Well, they're still there. I mean, they still have space at Greyhound, and they have space out at the airport, but I think they're down to almost nothing. I mean, a couple of our graduates were working there, so they did have some master's people, but I think maybe two or three people and volunteers. And when I was there during that period, we must have had 10 staff, all
MSWs.
You did have 10,
really?
plus supervisors, and so there was a totally professional staff, plus the volunteers that gave a great deal of service. So I think it was a fine agency, and it was just unfortunate that happened that way. It was probably an error in judgment on the part of the exec and the board supported. It was a very powerful board, a very prestigious board. Oh, yes. But they didn't have any influence on this decision, unfortunately, sufficiently.
United Way.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have board members who are on both.
Yes,
United
but there
Way.
Were. I mean, there were. It was a very prestigious board, but they couldn't seem to stop it once it got started. And there'd been study on and off for years, putting pressure on them to merge into United Way, and there had been all that resistance.
What was the advantage if they went in with United Way?
Save money for United Way.
Oh, save money.
Yeah.
I see. Now, once you came back for your second year of doctor program, and you said you started
I was
to teach
on faculty.
Then, what were you teaching?
Well, I was director of admissions, and I was teaching a casework methods course and a foundations course.
I see.
And I was still taking coursework.
In addition.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I still had another year of coursework.
I see. So you had a heavy program.
Heavy duty.
Wow. And did you wait to write your thesis till after you were finished?
Oh, yes,
your...
a long time after. Uh-huh. Right. I had to do a couple of things. I was also in the joint program with public health, so I had to finish my public health work. And in addition, I had still prelims to take and then comprehensives to take and so forth. So I had, you know, a lot of steps still to be done along the way. I finally finished my dissertation in 71 and finished my degree over at public health in 72.
What was your dissertation on?
I studied indigenous paraprofessionals and the use of indigenous paraprofessionals in daycare programs. I studied paraprofessionals at the poverty program and at the Board of Education.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
It was.
Now, what did you say about the health?
I got a degree in public health at the same time. Well, I finished it a year later, but I was taking the coursework at the same time.
Were you planning to do something different?
No, I figured I'd stay on and teach, probably. And I have, and I did. Yeah.
You had a lot of energy.
Well, that's what it took.
Did you teach
right.
in public health?
Yes, I did two teaching in public health also.
But did they have the school up here?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
So you went there for courses?
Mm-hmm.
And what did you receive at the end of that?
Master of Public Health.
Uh-huh. And you also had to write a dissertation there?
Yeah, I had to write an essay for them.
Oh, my. You were doing a lot of writing.
Right. Right.
Did you get to see your children?
Oh, yes, yes, we managed very well.
Yeah.
I had a lot of help from my husband. And
oh,
really,
I'm sure.
We really
sure
managed it fine.
Uh-huh. Where was he working at the time you came back?
When we came back, he worked with his father in a chemical company.
Oh.
And then he went to work.
His father was a chemist?
No, but he manufactured chemicals.
I see.
And they had a chemical company, and then he went to work for Harry Katz in Elko Manufacturing, and then he set up his own business.
I see.
Which was a chemical formulating company.
Uh-huh. So then he was, what's the span of time in this?
Well, he has had his own head, he just sold it, but had his own business for 11 years. I worked for Harry from about 62 till then, so that was about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Worked for his dad.
Is that the exterminator?
Yeah, but he also manufactured chemicals.
Yes.
In a chemical company,
yes.
And that's what Jack was like.
I see.
He was his chemist.
I see. So he was
the
chemist there.
Right.
I see. So he was practically part owner
there. Well, he was a part owner.
Yes.
He was the chemist.
Yes. Did your children ever question, as children sometimes do today, hey, I don't want you to go today. I don't want you to leave home.
Yeah, stay especially here with us. The little one. The bigger ones didn't so much. No. The little one did. Uh-huh. She didn't like that at all.
Yeah.
And she would kick up a fuss. But not all the time.
Right.
And we managed it pretty well. She was very attached to me.
Yes.
And it was hard for her.
Uh-huh. Did you have sitters? For the when they came home from school?
We had somebody meet them after school. Uh-huh. And so that they weren't alone in the house.
So once you began to teach her, you just stayed. This mm-hmm. was the beginning of going on to this day, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you also have been in many, many, many other activities.
Many other places.
Yes, because I have your whole curriculum vitae mm-hmm. here, and it's quite extensive. And I'm thinking that either we start now or we wait till the next time and go into that. Do you have any questions for Dr. Short?
We have a little time left. This is the way I want it to go. We want to talk about what you've done now
uh-huh.
and how you develop this interest. I think uh-huh. that's fascinating.
Okay.
Doesn't come from nothing.
No.
Right.
Do you have any things that you'd like to put in terms of that whole period of your developing into a social worker and an administrator and teacher, professor, and family life and relationships and time socially?
Well, it's hard to know. To think about that, I think I would have been very happy staying in practice, you know, I mean, if I had had that choice, if I'd
right.
made that choice. And I think without Mariella really pushing me, although I was very interested, clearly,
right.
I might not have done that, because it was not
the usual
thing.
You were in the doctorate program,
there,
actually.
In the class I was in, there were 9 of us.
Really?
That's I was the only woman.
Ah.
Almost no women that had gone through doctoral programs in social work until some years later.
Right. Now, the men who came into the doctoral program, was that for advancement in the field?
Oh,
it wasn't
because
for teaching particularly.
Yes, yes.
It was for teaching?
It was for being in social work education.
I see.
It was a major motivation.
Uh-huh.
And you knew that you weren't going to, if you wanted to move into social work education, you weren't going to advance if you didn't have a doctorate.
I see. Yeah. How about in terms of administrators of agencies?
Well, to some
important?
Degree, but that's really not, even to this
right.
day, really required and in social work, unlike other fields.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, some of them came from administration and wanted to go back to administration, but overwhelmingly, most of them were interested in social work education.
They were. Mm-hmm.
Overwhelmingly so.
Mm-hmm. Were they from various walks of life? Previous to entering the
tended
doctor
to be
program.
Younger. I was probably the
younger.
Oldest in the class and tended to be younger and come moving through faster. You know, had their career goals were clearly in mind
uh-huh.
and didn't have the interruption of raising children and so
right.
forth. So
right.
they tended to be a younger bunch
uh-huh.
in general.
Uh-huh. And were these men who were in your class, were they from casework agencies?
A variety of
ways.
Some of them were teaching in undergrad programs already.
I see.
And a couple of them were doing that, and several were caseworkers in agencies, and some were either group workers or community organizers.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a real mixture.
It was. And it was a mixture in terms of where they came from, too. They didn't all come from Pittsburgh.
Most of them were from elsewhere. I think
from
I was
elsewhere.
Almost the only Pittsburgher in the class.
Because at that time, I think that there were people coming in from other countries, too, to study
we
here.
Had one foreign student, I think.
Just one?
Out of the 9, I'm just remembering one.
Uh-huh.
But they were from all over the country.
They were.
They were not
uh-huh.
Pittsburghers.
Uh-huh. And when they finished,
they went
to
all over
other
the country.
Places.
All right.
Uh-huh. But there hasn't been any convening since that time.
Well, we see each other at professional
meetings,
national
mm-hmm.
meetings. And Of course, we're all around retirement age now, but yes. Up until now, we were seeing each other.
Most of the professors at this institute, did they have doctorate degrees?
Less than now, everybody
yes,
but
I
one.
I don't remember
everybody
too many
but
professors.
Two,
Had
then it was not as usual. But
is
now
it now a requirement?
Pretty much.
It is.
Pretty much. Uh-huh. You know, you're in trouble if you don't have it in terms of advancement.
I see. So you can only but, you could have a master's and teach here.
Well, we have only two who've been here a long, long time. Mm-hmm. We've not hired anybody who's not either got a doctorate or is not a finishing doctoral worker now.
How has the doctor program changed from the time you came in and today?
Ours has stayed pretty much the same.
It has.
I think not overwhelmingly changed, except that we're in a more fortunate situation, and we've been fortunate over the last number of years. We do have our own faculty. It's the same faculty as the rest of the school, but we do have people assigned to the doctor program. When I was in the program, that wasn't as true. So you had people who would teach a course here and there, but not be designated as doctoral faculty. So it's been much, I think, since I've been director of the doctoral program, I'm really pleased to have people really assigned that I can count on and that I can use for policy decisions and decision-making about curriculum and so forth. But it has continued to be advanced clinical program. We do not.
It isn't.
It is not. It never has been. Mm-hmm. And most social work programs are not. Mm-hmm. It's really focused on policy and research.
I see.
And it's our program has continued to be that. There are a few that do teach advanced